Blog Talk Radio.
Down on all mankind.
Well, brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, thank the Most High. We are back again for another episode. In fact, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edemiah, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High, yes, indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. And I must say, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High. Yes, indeed, I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. I thank you all for listening. My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that the reason and the purpose of this show is without question to do and perform the duty of those who be true unto a covenant in the Most High. The Most High does not deny Himself. I repeat, He does not deny Himself. In fact, the scriptures tell us before He denies Himself, He will deny us. A multitude of compromises, my brothers and sisters, can never be a covenant. A multitude of compromises, my brothers and sisters, can only be a multitude of contentions. Think about it. The scriptures tell us well. If any man consider himself wise after the ways of this divided world, how about this divided world that refuses to recognize that its divisions and its multitude of diverse contentions are a direct result of man's lack of knowledge? My people destroyed, divided, contentious, for lack of knowledge. Brothers and sisters, it is not wisdom that has wrought the massive differences we see in this world. The men have chosen to sanction 45,000 denominations in this world across 280 nations that don't have a covenant even among themselves, a perfect agreement among themselves. How should men even begin to believe such as this could somehow be considered a covenant? Holy, pure, perfect, and complete unto the one Most High. It just simply is not possible that men with a right-thinking mind could believe that the Most High, who is holy, who does not deny Himself, who will not be destabilized, not changed after the diversities of men, would call it somehow a what? New covenant? A renewal of a covenant with Him? According to all the diverse vanities of the earth? He says you should have no other God but Him. Well, where do you get these ideas about something else still being called godly after some partial or some polluted idea? Where do people get the idea about something else being His thoughts when we see so many diverse opinions and differences of contentions? Isn't that a sign that something is wrong? There's no contradictions in the Most High. There's no hypocrisies and dissimulation. There's no misrepresentation in the Most High. He said His people must speak no lies, do no iniquity. Brothers and sisters, how shall men come to a state of mind that they speak no lies? How about no false doctrines? Do no inequity, injustice, uncleanness, lest there must be a standard. Here, my brothers and sisters, something is very desperately wrong and out of balance with the way this world has compelled men to think. Men have been told, even in fact, that they are free as long as they abandon, I hope you hear me, my brothers and sisters, their rationality, their intelligence, and their sanity. Think about it. If they tell you have to think that the Most High has compromised His will, compromised His wisdom, that men might be counted wise, my brothers and sisters, where's respect? Where's respect for the Most High in thought forms such as this? Men even going as far as to say Messiah gave His life so that what is a pure, perfect covenant is compromised after all the divisive designs of corruption that were already in the earth, pollutions that were already in the earth, even justifying everything that has been in its corruption since the fall. My brothers and sisters, how does it make sense to even begin to believe that a multitude of partialities, the Most High has already declared that His covenant is that His people who are anointed by the Spirit that teaches all things Brings all things to remembrance. Did you hear me? His covenant is that they should go forth after that spirit. Did you hear my brothers and sisters? In fact, the scripture says point blank. Teach all things. Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, my brothers and sisters, it really means that there'll be no compromise or misrepresentation of his word. Something, my brothers and sisters, something is desperately out of line, out of sync, out of order, imbalanced, irrational about that form of thinking. Think about it. Messiah said, think not that he came to destroy, dishonor in any way the law of the prophets. He said your righteous must exceed those who deny in any way the law of the prophets. Your concept of righteousness, your concept of what is divine vision, your concept of what is allegiance to the Most High must exceed that of those who compromise the Holy Word. And else he said, you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. But then men taught that Messiah came and gave his life to put away who? The divine law? Oh, my brothers and sisters, that makes absolutely no sense. You put away divine law so men might be converted? You put away divine law when the scriptures already tell us the word of Yah is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to tell the thoughts and intents of the heart? Means that there had to be a law, a pure, perfect word that would discern whether man will or will not seek what is pure and perfect. My brothers and sisters, you ever stop to consider? How many have stopped to consider that all prophecies speak of Messiah as a Savior? And the very word, Savior, salvation, means he'll deliver people from their sins, from the multitude of their divisions, from their blindness. Did you hear me? He will deliver his people from all the misconceits that blind them so that they do and cannot proceed because of a mass of deceits. Salvation, my brothers and sisters, has to do with deliverance from evil. How should men say that that which is impure, imperfect, immature is good unto divine purpose, ready to serve him? Everybody has a different concept of what is divine righteousness, and that's supposed to be a covenant of cooperation. And that's what men call the grace of the Most High? The scripture says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of life. It didn't say a multitude of corrupt, imperfect, or partial ones. The gift of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, cannot possibly be a pack of lies. The gift of the Most High has to be the word of truth. And the scripture said he is the word from the beginning, and that word is eternal. My brothers and sisters, how dare men say they have somehow, what, a new covenant that sanctions all the animosities and fallen misconceits and traditions of a multitude of nations that would hide from man what the Most High has declared from the beginning? Because think about it. If man were after what he has been taught, if it were that the multitude of institutions and men call religious had taught what the Most High declared from the beginning, guess what? The divisions wouldn't exist. All these divisions come as a result of man having turned away from, fallen away from the purity and completion the Most High declared from the beginning that the scripture says is to know this as light and life, meaning that all that is necessary for a man to fall short of his salvation is to be blind to what the Most High declared from the beginning. Because actually, to tell you the truth about it, Isaiah 41 says that if man does not discern what the Most High declared from the beginning and what is to be, then men might discern the aberrations and even the abominations of present society. The scripture calls the man who does not discern these things, does not call him a work after the spirit of the Most High, but calls him an abomination, something after the workmanship of another. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. The scriptures actually in 2 Thessalonians talk about The intrusion of the principalities and powers, whereby men have lost sight of what is their iniquity. Their iniquity has become a mystery. No concept of what is righteousness. No concept of what is respect for Yah. No reference point. Principalities and powers, the rulers of the nations, intruding right there in the midst of the churches, sitting behind the pulpits of your churches, my brothers and sisters. Causing men to believe lies, preferring unrighteousness, less than the fullness of what the divine will and standard that would declare the one choice. Cause men to love a multitude of pretenses. Scripture says Messiah will have to come to expose those pretenses. My brothers and sisters, how shall men know how to gather, what it is to gather to the one called Shiloh? Now, the scriptures say the expectation of him must remain even till he appears. If we understand Genesis 49:10, how should men, my brothers and sisters, know what to be gathered unto unless there be a standard? What does the scripture say in Isaiah 42? Behold my servant, my legend, my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the nation. The isle shall wait for his law. Do people actually believe that that law is according to all the diverse designs that most consider wise among the multitude of churches, among a multitude of nations? Why is it scripture says Messiah will have to judge not according to what his eyes see nor what his ears hear, but after something greater? Do people really believe this concept of this Greco-Roman concept of a Christ? I did not say Messiah. I did not say a Savior. I did not say a Kurdi. One who reproves all the nations. Rome created the concept of a Christ to appease all its multitude of differences. God would never call a Christ in his lifetime. But what spirit is it, my brothers and sisters? Is it by a Holy Spirit that all the diverse standards of men are somehow sanctioned? And men will say they are saved, made whole, delivered from every deceiver. Is it by the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, that men sanction so many differences against the will of one? Has it been love or hate, my brothers and sisters, that has wrought the multitude of differences that we see? I'm going to tell you right now, my brothers and sisters, the idea that Messiah gave his life so that the already extant mysteries of iniquity, already extant sin, already extant misallegiances in this world should remain in the hearts of those who believe is insanity. It's totally, completely irrational. When the scriptures say such thing as in Romans 10, it says Messiah is the end of the law for those who believe. How many are ready to understand something very precious to understand? The pagans had no word for law that would reprove them. They considered themselves the leaders among the heathen, called themselves the law. They even considered themselves, or taught people to consider them gods. So they had no word to relate the difference between divine law and man's law. They didn't have any words to relate a rule beyond themselves. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, in a pagan society like ancient Rome, whereby the leaders had sanctioned so many diverse gods, it's hard to even count, to begin to imagine them telling the people that they have to praise all these diverse gods lest they be offended. You ever stop to consider that if international law declared that men have to accept and compromise themselves with all the diverse opinions, and misadministrations of men? Ideals so often wrought out of ignorance are just sheer selfish ambition and arrogance. If men are to sanction all these differences, my brothers and sisters, where's the love for Yah? Where's respect for him at all? Like I said, the entire premise of a Savior who gave his life from the sins of mankind to be exalted is a total, complete farce and a travesty. The idea of a compromising Savior who sanctions all the diverse standards of men, my brothers and sisters, is no covenant with Yah at all. And I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, just like the word of Yah is sharper than a two-edged sword. Able to tell the point of division between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. Able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Just like a pure, perfect word discerns who is willing to seek all and who is not. Who desires what is pure and who would uphold what is impure. So it is, my brothers and sisters, that the mass of lies that have been taught in order to sustain so many differences among men they too are a test of men's souls. Because if men truly desire to serve the Most High, there's a lot of things that have been said out here that just simply made no sense. And men would know it. Like the scripture says, Messiah is the end of the law for those who believe. Wait a minute. Hold on. The scripture says, the Most High put his spirit upon him that he should reveal his law. Most High Spirit, speaking of, put upon him to preach a different law. Scripture says, Messiah come that all may know to the glory of Yah his Father. There's none else but Yah from the rising sun to the west. How is that a different rule, my brothers and sisters? It makes no sense. When the scripture says in Jeremiah 30-31, talk about a new covenant. It does not talk about men remaining subject to men. In the diverse conversations of men, if they be converted, it talks about men, my brothers and sisters, transcending all these diversitudes, that unto Yah men might be one. The diverse misconceits of man must be proven foolish, my brothers and sisters. They have to be. That's how you restore a covenant with the Most High. Should men be subject to a multitude of false prophets? False law? Men actually believing that Messiah came to put an end to divine law? No, Messiah is an end to man's trust in all these pluralities that confuse him. Messiah is the end of man's trust in this Babylonish world that has taught men that somehow that which is entirely indiscriminate is worthwhile, when the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, a multitude of contentious ideals, the Most High calls vanity, absolutely worthless before him. Shall men, my brothers and sisters, believe that having no reference point for revering Yah is a gift from him? Is a grace from him? Shall men only know words, doctrines, which defy the righteousness of Yah, which defy even the fact that there's only one righteousness that is to be counted Savior? Shall men turn away from that concept and say that they are faithful to what? Say they have faith. Faith in what? That the Most High has compromised his word and that somehow he doesn't believe what he has said when he said his word is eternal from the beginning? Something's desperately wrong about this, my brothers and sisters. They may have even believed such a thing. Scripture says men have had the law but didn't seek it by faith and say therefore men have not knowing the righteousness of Yah, sought to establish their own righteousness. It means unless you believe the Most High has an absolute standard, maybe perhaps you're not inclined to seek it. No absolute standard. Wow. Men despise it if there's an absolute standard. Is that a love for Yah? Mm-hmm. Or is that selfish ambition? All the differences we see, is that the result of a love for Yah? And remembering of his commands? And obedience to his commands? Or is it disobedience? I tell you, my brother and sister, the entire concept of Messiah that the scriptures say that if you believe in his name, you have a right unto life. What is life? Is there a multitude of contradictions in it? When the scripture says believe in him, that means all the 45,000 denominations that claim to be representative, though they can't agree. You believe in someone according to a multitude of differences that there's no agreement in? How can that be a savior, my brothers and sisters? How can that even be peace? Something's desperately wrong. Scripture says, believe in his name. Okay, you can call his name Yeshua. Hebrew word, Yasha, root. He would deliver his people from their sins, deliver them from their differences, their partialities, their pluralities, their inconsistencies, their divisions, their short-sighted illusion, their lack of knowledge. For it is sin, my brothers and sisters, in fact, it is trouble and tribulation. Anytime men are subject to a conscience less than that of Yah, that will not open the mind and heart to access to see the greater truth. Every lie that men trust in and believe is sufficient. Blinds them in his pride, not to seek nor to be able to easily perceive the greater dimensions of truth. Shall men believe that Yah is just as pluralistically hypocritical as all the diversities of man and expect that with such a concept that he has worshipped Yah, that he has praised Yah, that he has loved Yah? Something's wrong with that form of thinking, my brothers and sisters. How shall the differences of man be reconciled after the compromises of man? I can only tell you that the scripture says because of the intrusion of the principalities and powers. Think about it. Principalities and powers are the statehoods, differences of religion, social and cultural differences that were out among the nations. The scripture talks about the intrusion of these principalities and powers, not just intrusions, but efforts on the part of these to sit right there in the pulpit as if they were godly, the scripture says. How about to rule over and constrain the word of truth? If all these compromises, my brothers and sisters, is viable for the Most High, who do men call the Savior? Who do men call supreme? Isn't it time we think more deeply concerning these things? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that I believe that most people in this world, and scripture says Satan has deceived the whole world. I'm talking about Revelation 12 and 9. Most people believe lies. Simply because most, not choosing to even think about it, have gone along with what is utter insanity for so very long. It's hard for them to believe that the world has been deceived as it has been. But you understand, my brothers and sisters, it's not perception. It's not knowledge. My brothers and sisters, that divides up a world the way it is. Somebody said, my people are destroyed, divided, contentious, confused for lack of knowledge. A little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. But the scriptures obviously tell us that seeking a pure and perfect word, my brothers and sisters, is a renewal of the strength of a people. Think about it. Scriptures talk about Messiah coming forth saying, morning by morning the Most High caused my ears to hear the teaching, and I have not turned back the rebellious way, that I should know how to declare a word to the weary. One scripture says that people have been wearied. How about no longer strong in the knowledge of Yah because of a multitude of corrupt ways? Sound like a multitude of corrupt ways, my brothers and sisters, are pollution against the people being strong after the will of one. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Think about this for a minute. Think about it. Scripture says men have been wearied in a multitude of corrupt ways. Talking about scriptures like that in Isaiah 57, Isaiah 47. Yah teaches the word absolute to strengthen the weary. Scripture says the Most High has taught, must teach Messiah morning by morning, cause it is to discern a greater dimension of understanding, that he might declare a word. How about to strengthen those who have been dissolute in their thinking? Scripture talks about how men have dishonored, wearied the Most High with their words. That means a multitude of contentious ideals, my brothers and sisters. A multitude of contentious ideals. Cannot be to the glory of Yah. But the power of devils, my brothers and sisters, to disconcert the minds. Do men believe that of trusting a multitude of devious standards gives honor to the one Most High, high and holy one? A multitude of plural standards, my brothers and sisters, could never be true to the will of one. And one scripture section says they didn't translate this way in your King James Version. They say we must all examine ourselves to see if we are all the same faith. What else is a covenant? Same faith, else we are reprobate, rejected, undisciplined, confused after the world. Faith has never been a matter, my brothers and sisters, in trouble. And faith has never been a matter of trusting in a multitude of contentions. Double-mindedness, is that faith? Trusting a multitude of different conflicting doctrines. Is that faith? Men choose to believe they are wise because nobody knows the answer. That's supposed to be called wisdom? Really? Something's quite insane, infirm, unstable about these patterns of thought. Isaiah 29 says the time will come when Messiah will declare the truth, and it'll be like a hungry man that has dreamt that he was drinking, dreamt that he was eating, and when he wakes, he's finding he's hungry and famished. In other words, the exceeding wisdom of his words will prove to men, this is to say, just how shaky a set of foundations they had stood upon, how malnutritioned and untaught and undisciplined the thoughts of men have been, to so easily fall for these things. Think about it. Do you think the Most High is going to have people as kings and priests that fall for every doggone illusion that this world can present? In other words, get the point. You're supposed to be a king and a priest unto the holy kingdom, but every lie that every other king, kingdom, ruler, pastor, priest, rabbi, whatever teaches, false prophets, leaving you under a flawed system of law, the law of accepting a multitude of flaws, false religion, false idea. That's what my brothers and sisters, men call a law over themselves and say the Most High with that is pleased. Think about it. What Scripture says, not under the law but under grace. Remember I told you about that word nomos they used for, the pagans used for both divine law and man's law? Not under the law but under grace. You ever stop to consider you are not under a multitude of fools, because you should not be under a multitude of fools, foolish, fallen standards, insufficient standards. Because by the grace of the Most High, he reveals to you something wiser. The Apostle Shaul talks about the idea that having received abundant knowledge from the Most High, he considered all that he had before as dross. You ever stop to consider what that means? Whether Jew or Gentile, the diverse rulerships of this world have never brought forth peace. And if the diverse standards of men who themselves are contentious, everybody wanted to call themselves wise in their partiality, is still not discerning what was declared from the beginning. If everybody wants to call themselves wise after such as this, my brothers and sisters, do people really believe that they're wise enough not to have to seek more in order to agree with him whose conscience, according to the scriptures, will bring to remembrance all things the Most High spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began? And may I please help to understand that concept. To know what is said, not know why it is said, is a missed point. There are so many things written in Scripture, my brothers and sisters, that were ancient prophecy that only one who has an astute association and knowledge of those ancient environs after which these statements were made looking at how these things are also prophetic as an admonition to the latter day, these latter days. Only those having that kind of insight are going to understand a tremendous amount of what's written in prophecy. A lot of things, my brothers and sisters, that people call prophecy today has long since happened. We're talking about as much as 2,000 years ago. We're talking about as much as 5,000 years ago that a lot of these prophecies spoke. Hey, think about it. We're talking about 3,500 years ago since the prophecies of Moshe. And he told folks way back then, Messiah in the last days would come out of a city to expose and rebuke what would stand against Israel becoming, let's just say, put it this way to you, pure, perfect, and complete enough to be found acceptable unto a promised land. He said he would expose and even destroy all those who have been obstacles against Israel, becoming that people worthy of a promised land. Numbers 24, 14 through 17 through 19. Why did they tell you about that? Why did they tell you about the secret city prophecy that you'll find on my website, hiddengospel.com, article called Secret City Prophecies? Why did they tell you about that? You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures actually say in order for man to be restored to a covenant beyond all these contentions, that the rulership of this world will have to be proven foolish so men no longer trust in them. Because as long as men trust and believe in a lie, or they trust and believe those who hide the truth from them, you ever stop to consider you're still in bondage to whoever it is that hid that truth? Think about it. The scriptures speak about how Messiah must come to reveal all things. Even the things that men have not considered. If they keep from you that expectation, and the scripture says you need that expectation that your sins, how about your allegiance to partialities, corruptions, unrighteousness, and imperfect, immature doctrines might be overcome. If you don't know to seek beyond your rulers and all their contentions, you ever stop to consider you're still part of their contentions? He said your rights must exceed that of your leaders who deny the law and prophets or the word of peace. Else, my brothers and sisters, you wind up being a constituent under the confusion. In fact, I would say that any institution of man that does not teach that Messiah comes to reprove all the leaders, to expose all the unrighteousness of all the rulers, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, presidents, kings, whatever they call them, if they don't tell you that you have to seek a righteousness greater than them all who compromise the law and the prophets and the law, and believe me, the law and the prophets do speak of that eventuality. If they don't teach you to look for a dimension of righteousness exceeding those who compromise this world, they have you in bondage, my brothers and sisters, because without that expectation, your expectation is by default according to whatever trash they told you. And that's exactly what it is. It's worthless. So men trust the multitude of help, false prophets, misrepresentatives, crying out, Lord, Lord, but not to do or perform fully what is the will of the Father, declaring the words from brothers and sisters, but not true to their meanings. Messiah said, he who has these words of mine and obeys them, understands them, and also is the same meaning of the word, obeys, understands, and declares them. How about word and deed? That is a wise man. Or else he's a child of darkness. Or else he's a child of confusion. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. How many of my brothers and sisters would still call themselves wise or even refuse the truth? Simply because, my brothers and sisters, they're prideful, not wanting to admit that the truth is still something they haven't known. The entire premise of a compromising Savior, rather than one who comes, as the scripture says in Revelation 19, with discipline like a rod of iron, means unflinching, unchanging. One who comes with a word like a sharp two-edged sword. In other words, it is complete, it is perfect, it is pure. And it will decide, my brothers and sisters, who seeks purity and who does not see who seeks what is complete for the Most High, what appeases the Most High, and who will not. That's why the scripture said in Revelation, third chapter? He said, seek his perfect word. He also said, he come against you with the sword of his mouth. Wow. Doesn't that pretty much define it for you? Do you think the Most High considers anything he said unwise? Why did scripture say at Romans 15. Whatever is written of old, all that is written of old is for our learning, that we through patience and faith in scriptures might have hope, being like-minded. Did you hear my brothers and sisters? Obedient unto Yah, even among all the nations, in word and deed. So you learn these words not to do them. That's not what the scriptures say in Romans 15. How do people think they put away divine law to convert and be respectful of him who is divine? One scripture says, you are a servant of him whose law you obey. That means if you trust in the standards, whoever standard you trust in, his servant ye are, it says, whether it be unto obedience or it be unto righteousness. So the wages of sin, how about, think about it, the wages of trusting in those who compel you to transgress divine law, the wages of being under the flaw, the false law of men, the pluralities, double-mindedness, and confusion of men. Scripture says, my brothers and sisters, quite frankly, he said the wages of that sin is death. Why? The Most High wants his people to be one, agreed with him as one. If the people cannot agree with him as one, it's not the children of light. It's not Israel. Isn't it time we discern the real? Prophecy declare that men, like I said, be stupefied, deceived in the last days by a strong delusion. Men find, according to Isaiah 29, that their worship has been after the precepts and doctrines of men, suddenly awakening and finding just how malnutrition men have been among the institutions even they call churches. Worship after the precepts and doctrines of men. We're having only words learned by rote, knowing what is said, not knowing why. Scripture says that to these men such as these who trust in the ways of their rulers, the scripture says it'd be like a book that men open, but it is sealed. Hey, the unlearned reason says I can't read because I'm not learning. Supposed to be learned, reading says it can't read because it's sealed. Why? They have a faulty expectation. The expectation is someplace up in the sky. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says Most High is going to establish Jerusalem upon this earth. He said, in Jerusalem shall be deliverance to the remnant whom the Most High has called. Read Joel 2:32 and understand. He said, watch out, because not everybody preaches the gospel of the kingdom. Some folks preaching the standards of men uphold their pulpits and thrones. I didn't say the rule of the kingdom of Yah. In fact, how can someone preach the kingdom of Yah if he's never heard or discerned, or ever for that matter, heard from the Most High to discern purely what is the ways of that kingdom? Scripture said Messiah would have to come to reveal that in the last days. And if they don't teach you to expect that, then what have they taught you? Like I said, if they haven't taught you to expect him who will reprove all, that all discern again was the righteousness of Yah, they left you subject, my brothers and sisters, to the flawed rule of those who, my brothers and sisters, would keep you under sin, blind in the darkness. Oh, wait a minute. Scripture says in the last days the Messiah comes, in Isaiah 41, there was none that knew, none that declared, none that even hears, understood his words. That means since this was the expectation of the early church, yes, my brothers and sisters, the expectation of Messiah returned to reveal fully the light truth. Since that's not been the expectation of those who would cause you to feel satisfied in your blindness, it means what they were, my brothers and sisters, not churches at all. They kept you in blindness. They kept you subject to injustice. Without the expectation of the one who declares righteousness that reproves all the rulers, like it says in Isaiah 41, like it says in Malachi 3rd. Without the expectation of that one, my brothers and sisters, all are misled. Far from the rule of the kingdom, because it's that one who shall declare the rule. Why did Messiah say, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star? If you don't know why he said that, are you sure you knew the Messiah at all? You said that's the testimony that we testify in the churches. You need to ask the question why it hasn't been. Why are those implications been missing? One scripture says if, basically what it says, if you trust in the diversities of men, then the spirit of the Messiah is of no benefit to you. Meaning if you trust in all the diversities of worldliness, one scripture says the spirit of truth you will not receive. You never understand. One scripture says in Jacob, first chapter, it says if you're scattered among the nations, trusting the multitude of provocations, differences of belief Most High cannot be pleased with. He says if you don't realize that your perseverance and faith must bring forth a perfect and complete word, then you fall after the mockeries, the misrepresentations of the double-minded. The scripture says, let not such a man think he receive anything from Yah. You ever stop and consider you ask the Most High for a spirit to teach you unto an absolute? Not that you compromise with a multitude of diverse contentions. Do you think it's the love of a human soul that is left indiscriminate? Some people sit back and say, you know, they the Most High has what they call agape love, as if there's no conditions even unto life. As if all a multitude of contradictions can still be life. As a multitude of polar opposites and misopinions can still be life. My brothers and sisters, what the Most High calls life is a word. Concepts, my brothers and sisters, they have no disagreement. No attrition, no destruction in them. No confusion in them. It's consistent from beginning to end. And if men are not willing to open their hearts to full well understand this, my brothers and sisters, where is understanding at all? Without the expectation of one, my brothers and sisters, who were admonished to seek, that we no longer be vulnerable to the wiles of devils. Devious. What do you think a multitude of divisions are? Man is still vulnerable, blinded by his own infirmity, his lack of a foundation. Yes, my brothers and sisters, his lack of a covenant. Let me repeat that. You don't have a holy covenant after a multitude of contentious ideas that didn't come forth from the Most High. People still misled, far from faith, far from trust in Yah as one. Hey, believing every wind of false doctrine and still calling it a covenant. Damn with the world. All this multitude of curses and divisions. He said you should have no other God but He. No other standard but His. What do you think these multitude of diverse ideologies in the, that are in this world? Men swearing themselves to be believers, but after the allegiance to their say, worldly kings. Compromises after diverse standards of men. Do you really believe, my brothers and sisters, that's faith in Yah? Trust in false prophets. What is the false prophet? I've explained it many times in this show. Look at the word false. False. Fallen. Foolish. Deceptive. Causing men to think it's enough and it's far from it. Not seeking to perform or teach fully what is the will of Yah. That's the flaw, my brothers and sisters, that you must overcome. That's the false law. I didn't say the law of Yah. I said the flaw. Most High told me there's only one law that is lawful, equitable, just. And it's His. What else can fully appease His purpose? My brothers and sisters, without the expectation of the one who proves foolish all these differences of man, man is still under the marks of the beast. Unreasoning nations that will not reason as one. What does Most High say? Come, let us reason together. And though your sins be like scarlet, if you're white like wool. In other words, come, let us reason after the mind of Yah. Most High calls you to see the things that you have not considered. Hey, you counted a blessing. Most High told me the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What they think they know, not giving all things consideration, is not wisdom at all. Why do you call it the greatest wisdom is what people don't know? It's what they don't know and what they must collectively come to know that would be the conversion of the hearts. That's why the gospel in which the men did not know what scripture called the mystery of the gospel had to go forth to the nations. If the gospel were not a mystery, men, then all men would already have known the way of peace, the way of the holy kingdom. It had to be taught. But the scripture says men have loved darkness more than light. Do people really believe after they've rejected that pure, perfect truth, constrained after the ideals of many, that what they have is a result of men being blinded by a multitude of, like I said, false prophets, false prophecy, false spirit, false testimony, that what they have is still a covenant with Yah. When did man ever get the right, my brothers and sisters, to write whatever he wanted to on the contract and take on, put on or take away whatever he will and still think the Most High is going to sign it? When, my brothers and sisters, it's all men who must come to recognize his will. One scripture says it this way in Ephesians. He is our peace. Oh, he casts aside the wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, meaning that he declares one standard that all are conformed to so that all might cooperate, love, and trust together. In the declaring of one king, true to the will of Yah, is the restoration of a covenant, a holy covenant with Yah. Do you really think a multitude of kings, like I said, contentions against the Most High, against his anointed that would teach all things, no lie in it, against a standard that would expose all darkness, is supposed to be a covenant with Most High that grants men favor, refusing to recognize the need to discern so much more? It's supposed to be favor? Someone who refuses to be taught? Think about what I mean. Most High told me if I could believe a multitude of contentions, contradictions in this world, or work of his spirit, he said I could not be a disciple unto him. Well, nobody is a disciple unto Yah who believes the multitude of contradictions is wise. That's the heart of a devil. Any time we understand that? I believe it is, my brothers and sisters. There's no curses in divine law. They talk about the curse of the law. There's no curses in divine law, but there's a bunch of divisions in man's. A bunch of divisions in what they call international law. The law of the flesh is short-sighted. Everybody has his own opinions after his flesh. My brothers and sisters, how is that being men being led by the Spirit? How does that make men sons of Yah? Knowing that they only trust in what seems apparent after their own eyes. You ever stop to consider, like I said before, there's a reason why the scripture says Messiah will not judge it for what his eyes seen or what his ears hear? With the breath of his lips, then by his testimony shall he slay, expose every lawless standard. I know what the Most High told me. Whatever I hear from men, see from men, read from men, anything else from men, check it out with him first and somebody make a fool out of me. Well, guess what? A lot of folks have just trusted what they see. They see all these multitude of differences. People call them churches and actually believe them that all these differences are a covenant with the Most High. My brother says all these differences are the result of a spirit that is straight from hell. Wake up and understand and see it, my brothers and sisters. Do you really believe that trusting in all these strong delusions proves you worthy to be called a king, priest, and a judge in the kingdom of Yah? He said he overcomes these delusions. Isaiah 29. Go on to Revelation. 2:27, 2:29. He said he overcomes the illusions of all the nations that have kept men subject to all these false rulers. He overcomes these. He will give authority over the nations. Shall men overcome deceit by deceit? Come on, people. The scripture says men have turned things upside down, caused men worship to be after the precepts, the blindness of men. Men learn doctrines learned by rote. He says by a wonderful manner that he will have to proceed to set apart his people. That means by a conscience and revealing a conscience that is beyond the ordinary. Shall he, hear me, my brothers and sisters, shall he set apart or consecrate to himself a people? It's not after ordinary conscience that he sets apart a people unto himself. It's not after a multitude of partialities after which men have become prideful after their own ambitions. There's a reason why the scripture says the Spirit of Yah is upon the priest good tidings to the meek. Those who are humble, knowing that the Most High will declare an absolute standard that all must obey, know they have to seek beyond themselves. Do you really think carnal mind has the power to comprehend the spiritual thing the Most High declared? Think again. If that were the case, my brothers and sisters, there would be no need to send Messiah. What about the scripture says, the Spirit, Most High has put his spirit upon him, and he should bring forth justice to the nations. One law, I shall wait for his law. Apparently, my brothers and sisters, it takes the Spirit of the Most High to discern what that one law is. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. If they told you anything else, they told you a lie. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about it. Think about it. The gift of the Most High can't be all these deceptions. And never could the grace of Yah be a license to lie. Scripture says those who believe lies should be damned. What about those who tell them? What about Scripture says what it says in Revelation 22? They say, in the outer courts, even my brothers and sisters, ultimately into a place of destruction, is those who love to tell lies. What about those who won't believe the truth, all the lies, all they know? Like I said, my brothers and sisters, nothing after partialities and intrusions of men has ever been a covenant, old or new. Here, my brothers and sisters, time we understand the reality. Shall men insult the opportunity to understand the greater truth and expect in this faithlessness and this infirmity to be favored? Most times when he looks and he sees man receiving the knowledge of truth, acting after the knowledge of truth, he is favored to receive more truth. Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments, preserve, maintain my conscience in the earth. Don't let anybody turn you aside or anyone else turn anyone else aside from it. Seek to uphold the truth. And he said to those who did this, he would reveal himself. He said, the Spirit of Yah is upon him to preach good tidings to the meek. Those who are already prideful in themselves, hey, are they prepared to hear more? He said, the Spirit of truth, the worldly, will not receive. Those who love all these contentions. Those who love contentions among men, shall they be ready to receive the testimony of the one Spirit that rebukes all unrighteousness, all partial, polluted, perverse standards? Come on, people. Let's think through this thing, and let's realize the real. What have men been taught is the love of Yah is the love of men. Yah is one. Men are divisively many. Okay, everybody sits back and cater to everybody's opinion. That's what the love of him who is one, who is not destabilized after the minds of men. What have men been taught? Is it confusion or is it absolution when they turn around and tell you that by grace there's no divine law? My brothers and sisters, divine law can only be composed of an awareness concerning all things. What does Scripture say? In the beginning was the Word, and that's what Messiah, he said Messiah is. In fact, he declares that purpose. It says from beginning to eternity, and that for it is life. Scripture says to discern that constancy is the light of life. All things are made by him. Without him, nothing made that were made. Guess what? Nothing then subsists or exists eternally outside that plan. And men say that upholding their diverse, short-sighted differences, they are true to the holy name. What is about 1 Corinthians 1:10-11? In the name of the Most High, let's all speak the same thing. No divisions among us. How are the divisions among us, my brothers and sisters, supposed to be true to the holy name? Then he says, you should not take his name in vain. You should not swear by his name unto after the vanities of man. You have to have inspiration, have to be guided. Did he say you could be guided by him without the Spirit of the Most High? Hey, did he say you still have the Spirit of the Most High if you continue in your disobedience? Scripture says, hearken to Yah, lest you fall from his grace. How about fall from being guided by him? He says, you're without the discipline that comes from him. He says, you're a bastard and not a son. Read Hebrews 12. Okay, so everybody turns around and disobeys him and says they're his children. I remember a scripture in Isaiah 30, this chapter, talks about they called them false sons because they would not hear the law of the Lord. They would not hear the law of the Most High. They, in fact, the scripture says he calls them false children. Often he calls them, well, he says they have to scatter the bones of hypocrites in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. Because they despise his word of pure consistency and trust in a mass of oppression. Scripture says, this iniquity shall be as esteemed as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken without pity. It means the Most High has no favor for those who would prefer doctrine to leave men stuck on stupid, stagnant, unmoving. What's Scripture saying? Woe to them who take counsel, but not from Yah. He says this trust, the Scripture says, will be only to men's confusion. But brothers and sisters, confusion is an unholy thing. It's mixing contradictions together and sit back and call it wise simply because you don't know what's what. It's wise because you don't know what's what. Right. Really. People supposed to believe, that's what people are supposed to believe. What are they telling you in this world? You have to feel, hey, you're free if you forsake all your sanity and go whichever way to hell that they would lead you. End result of every way that they lead you without knowing what to expect in the coming of Messiah who will set you free, who will teach the exceeding truth that sets men free. Not to know that standard, my brothers and sisters, means you're free but not in bondage. You're in bondage if you don't know the way to set you free. The way to set you free, my brothers and sisters, is the word that transcends the inadequacies, the short-sightedness, the insufficiencies of all this world is taught. Scripture says when Messiah is revealed, declare those things that men have not considered. Scriptures talk about all the systems of the world falling. Why? Because they all are on faulty foundations. There's a cornerstone, my brothers and sisters. The scripture was called Kurdishanya. It's not called Christianity. Messiah was not called Christ. He was called the Kurdi. Oh, that's something you might need to look at my website, hiddengospel.com. And understand what that word Mashiach actually means. With the word Kurdi, with the word Shiloh, with the word Shashan Shah. Mean where it came from, what they declare as an eventuation the men should have expected. Not to know these things, my brothers and sisters, is to be in bondage. You say the truth will set you free. You ever stop to consider that lies keep men in bondage then? Men not knowing what to believe or not having the master keys to get out from the darkness keeps men in bondage. If they hid from you what you really should expect of the Messiah, then my brothers and sisters, they can trick you into trusting something else. And Messiah is going to say to a whole lot of folks, keep away from me, I never knew you. You never knew me. He said, many will come in that day, do we not preach in your name? Your preaching should cast out illusions. Hey, your preaching should teach the exceeding things, not leave people in a lack of knowledge, not leaving them subject, like I said, to devils, illusions, ill visions, lack of knowledge. Blindness. Your preaching, my brothers and sisters, should be after a wonderful word. The word for wonderful means inspired. My brothers and sisters, by whose inspiration are people taught to trust in everybody's contradictions that don't come from on high? Most of the contradictions are straight from hell. So you're going to believe every demon and tell the Most High he has to favor it. You're going to trust in every false doctrine the world ever conceived and tell the Most High he has the favorite because you called upon his name after your own or somebody else's vanities. So you become victims to become victimizers, still leading men astray, not realizing the need to seek the truth that the world would not teach. Hey, there's a lot of prophecy talking about a whole lot of words the leaders wouldn't teach, and they haven't. And so you say there's no need to gain the victory in finding out what they hid from you. You see, there's no need to see beyond the lies they've told you, the veils of darkness that have covered all the nations. And you still say you gained the victory and that you were free. Sound like a very faulty definition of freedom, my brothers and sisters. Your concept of freedom is defined by your oppressors. That's a serious problem. Like I said, my brothers and sisters, and I've said it many times on this show, Most High didn't talk about a quote-unquote. The original word does not really relate to the new covenant as much as it relates to the restoration of one. It's no covenant that his people were scattered among the nations, among a multitude of peoples who wouldn't reason as one with him and wouldn't hear him. That's why the nation is still divided, because people refuse to hear Yah as he is. He said he has a controversy with his people because of the multitude of their priests. They take counsel together, but not to exalt or hearken to him. He said, can this be what people call deliverance? Oh, so they set themselves in position not to hear the Most High at all, and that makes them free. Sounds quite Babylonish to me. In fact, it is. It's doctrine straight from hell. They've been taught all over this world. What do you think Rome was about and all this multitude of differences? They didn't want to let go of that trash. They didn't want to let go and let people know that all that they had been taught before was based upon a lie. So it wasn't about doctrine. It was about power. They taught all these lies. That's why you see Easter, Christmas, Sunday, and Mardi Gras, and all these other dung supported by people who say they believe. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, if you keep what the Most High said, you must keep. Hey, like, you know, new moon is coming up in a couple of days. Keep the new moon, the Sabbath, and the feast, but not to teach everything the Most High declared. Did you keep a holy day? If you interjected your own thoughts in any way, did you keep a holy day? If you interjected your thoughts in any way, my brother says, do you keep a feast unto the Most High? Hey, he said, for instance, in the communion of bread and wine that is offered during the course of the Passover. Did he say, my brothers and sisters, do this in remembrance of somebody else's lie or the conscience that he said must be preserved in there? People say Messiah and his return is going to simply say, oh, that you kept my commandments, and your peace would have been as a river, your righteousness waves the sea. Meaning that somebody else is, somebody stuck his nose off in somebody else's business. He said, beware of the intrusion of the principalities and powers. Guess what? Rulers of the nation have nothing to do with trying to help somebody understand doctrines that did not come from them. Listen to what I'm saying. In Colossians, say, beware lest any man beguile you as the principalities and powers. It says, let no man act as your judge. Hey, how is somebody supposed to be a judge over you that doesn't understand what is proper meat and drink, beginning amongst the feast days and the Shabbats? Do you want to be misled? See, the main substance of these things is revealed in the Messiah. How about even in the Spirit that teaches all things that you understand, like I said, to know what is said and why it is said? Because to know what is said, not know why, is to be misled. Everybody teaching a different idea of what is proper meat and drink, beginning of the month, new moons, different concept of what is Shabbat, what should be taught in it. That's not a holy covenant. It doesn't draw the people together as one. In fact, it causes people in their pride, talking about, you know, subtitled allegiances, oftentimes to be totally unwilling to hear the greatest truth. So when Messiah comes, guess what? Rather than people admitting their shame, they seek to exalt their unrighteousness. And the scripture says, hearken, the Messiah will come and say, hearken and hear my speech, even though he tells them that what they have is insufficient. For the Most High determined a consumption upon the whole earth. The whole world is going to be judged by a consummate word. What makes people think otherwise? Most High does not compromise his word according to the constraints of the nations, lest there be no covenant at all, because the nations don't have a covenant. Isn't it time we understand what a covenant is? A holy covenant is mutual cooperation in all the Most High has declared. I don't see a single nation out here that's been willing to do it. So how can you be subject to these and be subject to Yah? Absolutely. That's falling from faith, my brothers and sisters. I mean, every time you believe a multitude of standards are wise. It's faithless. It's lawless. Anytime you feel like you can break the law and still have peace. Anytime you think you can break the law of the Most High and still have peace. Or anytime you believe that the varying standards of man, which has already broken the divine law, are peace. That's confusion. Think about it. Men have had their own doctrines and standards and ideas of what they call law, and they've enforced them on people for ages. Has the world yet found peace? Or is it going to be necessary the Most High reveals his law? Which one should say is peace? When Scripture says he is our peace, that means all trusting in the exceeding word that he reveals be, that is only understood by the Spirit rather than by the flesh. The exceeding word that ordinary mind doesn't comprehend. Only by that word, my brothers and sisters, are people made one. And not by their fleshly opinions, I promise you. Not a truth on my website, my brothers and sisters, hiddengospel.com. It reveals so many things of the Spirit that most have chosen to totally ignore. A lot of things that's written in the law and the prophets that most have totally ignored. Most even haven't even got a clue. But what spirit, my brothers and sisters, have people left in this blindness? Scripture says, Messiah said, think not that he came to destroy the law of the prophets. Scripture said the beast would think to change times and law. And Daniel 7:25. Messiah said he didn't come to destroy or abolish or dishonor in any way the law of the prophets. But say the beast would. These nations, the very word beast, goyim, Gentiles, same. Say then that's what the nations would do. Certainly what the Roman Empire and subsequent churches have done since. If it says the nations are the ones who would compromise the law of the Most High to lead ministry. And Messiah already said, think not that he came to destroy the law of the prophets, else you cannot enter the kingdom of peace. Think not that he came to destroy the law of the prophets, and certainly your righteousness to see the contentions of your rulers, contradictions of rulers, else you shall not enter the kingdom of peace. Do you ever stop to consider to believe the Most High eradicated in some way his law? Is to be under the mark of the beast, having not overcome the schemes of the world. Faith is a matter of seeking absolution beyond all hypocrisies under one cumulative, pure, perfect standard. Purity and completion offers one choice, that is an agreement, that is peace. When you sign your name to an agreement, you don't sign your name to part of it, you sign your name to all of it. Everybody can pick and choose like you want to. After a while, you have no, well, quite frankly, you change anything and you don't have a covenant anymore. Is there any time we understand? Do you think man can be born again only perceiving what is common to the flesh? Does the flesh reveal what the Most High declared from the beginning? Does flesh reveal, my brothers and sisters, what the Most High has forsworn must come to be? Does the flesh reveal, my brothers and sisters, more than just written words on a printed page? The word of Yah, my brothers and sisters, is living. It's active. I want you to understand what it means. The word of Yah, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures say, declare what is from the beginning, what is eternal. It will judge both the living and the dead. Many of my brothers and sisters, what does scripture say in Romans 2? He who dies without the law perishes without the law. How about who dies, my brothers and sisters, undisciplined, not knowing what the righteousness of Yah is, perishes? Or shall men say that knowing what the Most High declares, is life and peace? Listen to what I'm saying. Shall men say that knowing what Yah has declared is life and peace, when they're saying not knowing what he has declared and refuse to know what he has declared is life and peace too? Yeah, I've heard both of them. Maybe they haven't said it directly that way, but their actions, their deeds, and example prove that their goal, the church's pastors, just con them, my brothers and sisters, create a niche for themselves. They've already sold their souls out because they're willing to teach whatever people are willing to buy. And you really believe, my brothers and sisters, compromise men like this and help you get into the kingdom of Yah? Didn't he say you should not take his name in vain or swear by his name after any man's vanity, that you should not be found blameless who do this? My brothers and sisters, whoever mislead people this way, most wicked men of all. Faithfulness is not a multitude of contradictions. Faithfulness is not a multitude of vacillations. Salvation is not, being made whole is not after a multitude of partialities and pollutions. The divisions we see among men are curses by very definition. They are damnation. They are sin. They are separation from Yah. They are misallegiances. They are inequities. They are injustice. They are unrighteousness. They are infirmity. And what does the scripture say about all these folks preaching the word, but not having right understanding to obey it? He said when the rains came, the winds blew, because they had no foundation at all. And they built their house upon the sand. The fall of that great house was great. Now, brothers and sisters, people have built huge institutions after these lies. And how you really think the Most High wants to see these dens of damnation preserved? Read Isaiah 27:9-12. If the scripture says the Most High is going to cast these down, then seek trust in that which the Most High said he will utterly tear down, bury, and destroy, is to say that you are willing to go down with the ship. Well, brethren, said, I got news for you. The ship we're talking about, the people called an ark of safety among the churches, hey, it's already sinking. In the time we understand. How are people going to be born again after the will of the flesh? They'll be born into the kingdom of Yah, kingdom of the spirit of kingdom of truth, after unwitting flesh? Nah, not going to happen. If there's intrusions against the Holy Word according to the designs of another, that's a damnable sin, my brothers and sisters. How can men be made whole after the constraints of those who won't see fullness? I repeat, whenever there's no expectation of one whose righteousness exceeds all ye rulers, come for the express purpose that men might not perish in their lawlessness. Whenever that doctrine is not taught, whenever men sit back and say, okay, Messiah gave his life for what? For what? For what do they say? For their sin? So sin would be an offering to the Most High? That's a damn liar. Read very closely, my brothers and sisters. Again, it says the owl shall wait for his law, so he bring forth justice to the nations. What people think is, what do people really think is the definition of justice? Who defines it? Time to see through this, my brothers and sisters. Read through or listen to some of the captions that begin some of the shows of the last week. We've been exposing a lot of false tradition here tonight. But how many of my brothers and sisters are ready to embrace it? Maybe you need a refresher course. I pray the Most High that it'll have your mind, your heart to consider what others have been beguiled not to even think to consider. Science only a benefit, my brothers and sisters, to those when they hear an exceeding word, that there's something in them that will cause their attention, that these are words that cannot be denied. But these are words, these are thoughts, these are rationalities that cannot be denied and men be called steadfast. They are true, my brothers and sisters, you must have, though the whole world be an obstacle. You must see the implications of truth to discern the greater truth. But as much as that is true, as I said before, there's also times, yes indeed, Yah be willing, my brothers and sisters, Yah be willing. The most blessed of us will know we have to seek what is stable again. As I said to you before, a lot of secrets on my website, hiddengospel.com, articles like Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation, The Secret City Prophecies, The Gospel of Shiloh, Tribulation 70-365 AD, Remember the Promise, Thoughts and Afterthoughts on Contradiction versus Diction. Yes, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of information on that website that, quite frankly, I've never seen a pastor yet who was willing to look at all these concepts together and understand fully what they mean. Yeah. Well, I can only say, my brothers and sisters, till we speak again. Pray for the Most High that He empower the mind not to fall victim to the insanity. What is the clinical definition of insanity? The inability or unwillingness to see, perceive, believe the reality. Shall man be saved, my brothers and sisters, found worthy to be preserved if he just won't believe? Or the lies he has taught keeps him in unbelief? Shall man be counted worthy? By the Spirit, deep, diligent search for the truth, do men actually find the truth that will set them free? Well, brothers and sisters, here we speak again. It's got a little late, and I'm just thinking. This is a thousand things fluttering through my mind. Like I said before, let us not forget that the scriptures don't talk about men having become wise in these last days. Talk about men, by and large, my brothers and sisters, even though knowledge be increased, an opportunity of knowledge be increased. Most High says he looked and saw none righteous, no, not one. Psalm 14, Psalm 53. Said men did not recognize evildoers because they had no respect for Yah. One scripture talks about the idea about Most High looked and saw no intercessor. Zechariah 10 says he saw no shepherd. Wow. That's why the Most High sends a righteous one. That's why he sends a shepherd. That's why he sends one to declare a word to those whose concept of righteousness has been vastly polluted. So men not discern the reason. It's because the Most High has not taken this mess that people throw at him. That's why. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Native Yah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries, to His might, honor, and to His praise always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again for listening. You got no